Hi, it's Peter Robbins.
Peter, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing okay, brother. How are you doing?
Peter Robbins, we're going to talk to you a little bit about a subject you know firsthand. And we just had the 31st anniversary, can you believe it? The Bentwaters Woodbridge UFO incident, I guess, is really basically the way they like to refer to it. You and Larry Warren have a book. It's been out for some time, since 1998, I believe. But really, it's a consummate story. What happened there in the Rendlesham Forest? Now, we'll get to it in a moment. But first of all, I got to find out what's 2012 look like for you, Peter Robbins.
Well, a bunch of things. I will be speaking at a benefit for a wonderful public access television station in Philadelphia on the last day of the year, the 31st, along with our friends Tom Carey and Rich Dole. And I will be speaking at the International UFO Congress in Phoenix coming up in February. I've got talks going into the spring and going right into this next June, where I'll be back in Suffolk, England.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a conference, a 2012 Rendlesham Forest Conference there at June 16th and 17th. I wish I could get over there. I know there's a lot of people going, including yourself, Peter. After all these years, 31 years now, and your book's been out for a while, and you've lived with this incident, and you've done a lot of research since you wrote that book. I'm just curious, what do you think? What about Rendlesham?
Well, that it is certainly one of a handful of the most important and best documented UFO incidents of all time. The fact that it happened within a very military context has given us a very well-documented paper trail, quite a number of military as well as civilian witnesses.
And I understand that this conference coming up in June, there'll be some new witnesses. We can hardly wait for that. To give a little background to everyone, we need to probably talk about what happened here. It's kind of unusual in that it happened over the Christmas holidays. Actually, the 27th into the 28th is the one that officially gets the notice, because I guess he was actually the vice commander of the base, Lieutenant Colonel Halt, who went out and did an investigation. But before that, on Christmas night and into the morning of December 26th, John Burroughs, who was an Air Force security man, and now lives in Phoenix, and will be at that conference, went out and investigated some things as well with Jim Peniston. And they witnessed this event, and they've been quite vocal. Actually, they're doing a lot of discussion right now on Facebook. They have a group in which they're soliciting people to come forward. Maggie Thatcher was even quoted at one time about the Rendlesham Forest incident by a friend of hers, a socialite, who says Maggie looked at her and said, when she was asked about Rendlesham incident, says, "You can't tell the people about UFOs." I wonder why. We should ask Maggie why. Maybe Maggie didn't want to talk. Colonel Halt, interestingly enough, on a radio interview with Lee Spiegel there in the UK, also had something interesting to say. He said he and others had experienced an extraordinary event, and if the public, and I'm paraphrasing here, if the public were made fully aware of the circumstances, it would completely change the way people look at reality. Now, I don't know. I'm still inclined to think it was interplanetary or galactic or whatever, extraterrestrial. But these comments by these people seem like it might be interdimensional, or maybe a combination of both. But I really think it's extraterrestrial. How about you, Peter?
Yeah, there's no doubt to those of us who have studied it seriously for years. In fact, of all of the cases I've studied in more than 30 years, this is the one that I think you could take to court if our courts judged such things, but of course they don't. In a nutshell, we're dealing with a series of events that occurred on three consecutive nights in late December 1980, right between Christmas and New Year's, and involved dozens of United States Air Force personnel who were stationed in Suffolk. That's about 30 miles northeast of London. About 70 miles northeast of London. It involved everything from unknown lights in the night sky to fully articulated craft, some of them shining what you can only compare to like industrial laser type lights down into the old nuclear weapons storage area, adversely affecting the ordnance by the account of Colonel Charles Hault, who was the deputy base commander, who now denies that, but he told that to me and Larry and Bob Exler to our faces. It also involved the landings of a number of these things, and that was nothing ethereal. It was very physical, where these things came down into the forest. Some of them ripped out forest canopy. They ripped off bark from trees, settled onto the ground on kind of triangulated landing apparatus, and wherever the craft touched organic material, we have in excess of 10 times the amount of background beta and gamma radiation that you'd expect normally to find in trace amounts in nature, and that's a statistic that was confirmed by the British Ministry of Defense. It all culminated on the third night with the appearance of a large unknown craft and three beings. The first night, a number of the law enforcement Air Force personnel came upon a machine in the woods that was hovering, that was about 7 feet on a side, had the appearance of black glass, triangular in shape, and the two key witnesses there, Jim Peniston and John Burroughs, observed it very closely and very carefully. We have missing time, we have cover-up, we have, again, documented physical evidence. Larry Warren, my co-author on Left at Eastgate, still to this day the only book written or published in this country by a witness or co-written by an eyewitness. And the event that we're going to have this coming June will once again bring together Larry and Jim and John and myself, another witness who has never come forward, one or two surprises, and Travis Walton will be returning to England for this for the first time in 19 years. And I think even if it were just Travis, he would sell out the Woodbridge Suffolk Community Center all by himself. But I think we're in for another extraordinary weekend here. And very much looking forward to it, although it's still about half a year from now.
Peter Robbins, thanks for coming on and talking to me about Rendlesham. You've done some great work there. You always do on every project you get involved in. I'm a big fan. Peter Robbins. Now we're going to play a tape recording. This is the tape recorded by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hault, who was the deputy commander at the Air Force Base. Now, this was made starting on late night, December 27th, 1980, and went into December 28th, 1980. Now, this is not the first time the UFOs had landed there in that forest. 2 days earlier, Christmas night, and into the 26th, there also had been an incident there in which the Air Force had sent out security guards and a detachment to investigate. And that was the beginning of a wild ride for the United States Air Force, for sure, during the Christmas week of 1980 up until the end of, just before daylight on the 28th. So listen to this. This is the Lieutenant Colonel Charles Hault making notes as he led a unit out to investigate the report of the landing of a UFO in the Rendlesham Forest east of the Air Force Base.
It is looking directly overhead. One can see an opening in the trees plus some freshly broken pine branches on the ground underneath. Looks like someone came off about 15 to 20 feet up. Some small branches about an inch or less in diameter. Zulu 148, we're hearing very strange sounds out of the farmers burning our animals. It's very, very active, making an awful lot of noise.
Present of pigmentation.
You just saw it right there.
Where? Right at this position here, straight ahead in between the tree. There it is again.
Watch.
Straight ahead off my flashlight there. So there it is.
Hey, I see it too. What is it?
We don't know, sir.
So can I get some of it? Yeah, it's a strange, small red light. You'll see that maybe a quarter to a half mile, maybe further out. I'm going to switch off. The light is gone now. It was approximately 120 degrees to our site. Is it back again?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's the flashlight set. Let's move out to the edge of the clearing so I can get a better look at it. See if you can get the star scope on it. The light's still there, and all the barnyard animals have gotten quiet now. Yeah, we're heading about 110 to 120 degrees from the site out through to the clearing now. Still getting a reading on the meter. About 2 clicks. Meter jump, 3 to 4 clicks. Getting stronger.
Now it's coming up. Hold up. There we go. It's about approximately 4 foot off the ground. Compass heading to 110 degrees.
All right, I just turned the meter off. Got to say that again. About 4 feet off the ground, about 110 degrees, getting a reading of about 4 clicks.
Yes, sir.
No, it's not. I think it's something other than the ground. I think it's something that's something valuable here.
It's a tree right over.
We just found the first night bird we've seen. We're about 150 or 200 yards from the site. Everything else is just deathly calm. There is no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead.
There's yellow.
I saw a yellow tinge in it, too. Weird. It appears that you may be moving a little bit this way. Yes, it's brighter than it has been.
Yellow.
It's coming this way.
Also,
it is definitely coming this way. Pieces of it are shooting off. There is no doubt about it. This is weird.
To the left.
Yeah, definitely moving left.
One light to the front, one light to the left.
Keep the flashlights off. There's something very, very strange. Keep the headset on. See if it gets any stronger. Okay. Give us a radar.
Notation that this is on a beta reading, too.
It's on a beta reading?
Beta
okay.
Still has been removed.
Okay. Pieces are falling off it again.
And it just moved to the right.
Yeah.
Off to the right.
Strange. Oh, well, you're way to the left. Let's push to the edge of the woods up there. Can you undo that light? Let's do it carefully. Come on. Okay, we're looking at the thing. We're probably about 200 to 300 yards away. It looks like an eye winking at you. It's still moving from side to side. And when you put the star scope on it, it sort of has a hollow center, a dark center. It's like a pupil of an eye looking at you and winking. And the flash is so bright to the star scope that it almost burns your eye. We passed the farmer's house and across in the next field. Now we have multiple sightings of up to 5 lights with a similar shape and all, but they seem to be steady now rather than a pulsating or glow with a red flash. We just crossed the creek. And we're getting what kind of readings there? Getting 3 good clicks on the meter, and we're seeing strange lights in the sky. After 44, we're at the far side of the second farmer's field. And made sighting again about 110 degrees. This looks like it's clear after the coast. It's right on the horizon. Moves about a bit and flashes from time to time. Still steady error encounter. Also, after negative readings in the center of the field, we're picking up the slight readings, 4 or 5 clicks now on the meter. 3:05, we see strange strobe-like flashes to the rather sporadic, but there's definitely something, some kind of phenomenon. 3:05, at about 10 degrees horizon directly north, we've got 2 strange objects, half-moon shape, dancing about with colored lights on them. But it gets to be about 5 to 10 miles out, maybe less. The half-moons have now turned into full circles. As though there was an eclipse or something there for a minute or two. 3:15, now we've got an object about 10 degrees directly south, 10 degrees off the horizon. And the ones in the north are moving. One's moving away from us.
Moving out fast.
This one on the right heading away, too.
Yeah, we're both heading north. Okay. So here he comes from the south. He's coming toward us now. Now we're observing what appears to be a beam coming down to the ground. This is unreal. 3:30, and the objects are still in the sky, although the one to the south looks like it's losing a little bit of altitude. We're turning around, heading back toward the base. The object to the south is still beaming down lights to the ground. 400 hours, one of
object still hovering over Woodbridge Base at about 5 to 10 degrees off the horizon, still moving erratic and similar lights and beaming down as earlier.
A recording of the actual investigation going on with Colonel Charles Halt, as his mission was to go out and find out what the lights were. As you heard, he saw some strange objects and lights scanning the forest near the nuclear dump and the nuclear supply area that was the reason the Air Force Base was there. This was in 1980. 31 years later, and we still don't know all the details. But we expect more details to come out over the next 6 months, especially in time for the conference to be held June 16th and 17th in England at Woodbridge. This has been a special report on Rendlesham. What really happened? Was it something that challenges our reality? Or was it another incident of UFOs investigating and interfering with our nuclear arms race? What really happened? It's still in a veil of secrecy. Why? After 31 years. This has been a special report. I'm Jerry Pippin.